songs of invitation. At the beginning of our service, we sang, "Come, now is the time to worship." And now we've been singing, "Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide." I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 25 through verse 30, at one of the most gracious invitations imaginable. These are familiar verses to you, but they include an invitation from our Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I say it's a gracious invitation, not meaning by that that it's merely polite or nice or thoughtful, but that it is an invitation filled with grace. It's an invitation that we don't deserve. Jesus invites us, "Come to me." As we read through those familiar verses, verses 28 through 30, and we read that invitation, I think perhaps a helpful way to look at it is to pay attention to the four verbs that we find there. The first is come. Come to me. The second is take. Take my yoke. The third is learn. Learn from me. And the fourth is find. Find rest for your soul. We've been celebrating Christmas, and we know that's part of the glorious plan of God to restore and redeem his fallen world. It's a plan that took place in the council of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before the cosmos was ever created. God already had this plan in mind. And the plan involved God himself coming into our world. Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what we've been celebrating over these last weeks of Christmas time. Our world is fallen. It's in rebellion against God. We live with that reality every day. There's sin and there's sickness, there's violence, there's warfare, there's hatred, there's disasters, there's disease, there's just all kinds of evidence everywhere we look, both outside of us and inside of us, that remind us that we live in this fallen world. And God has launched this plan to rescue and redeem us, and it involves sending his own Son. And that's why it is when John begins his gospel, he says, "In the beginning was the Word." We wonder, well, what's he speaking of? What's this Word that he means? And then he goes on to say, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God. Okay, now we're getting some insight into this. The Word both was God and was with God. So this must be God the Son. And John goes on to speak of the glorious plan of God, how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. God now entering our world, coming among us, taking on our humanity in order to redeem us. And you go on and read through the scripture. You remember that Jesus is there at the Jordan River being baptized by John, and there is God the Son standing in the waters of baptism, God the Holy Spirit descending as a dove, and God the Father speaking these words over his Son. You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. You are my Son, God the Son, now among us. Paul would write in his letter to the Colossians, for in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And then in that same letter, Christ is the image of the invisible God. In the book of Hebrews, Christ is the radiance of the glory of God, and Christ is the exact imprint of God's nature. Jesus speaking in the book of John, I and the Father are one. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. No one comes to the Father except through me. And now we hear Jesus offering this invitation, so therefore, come to me. He doesn't say to us, so you need to go find God. He's saying, God is making himself known in me. I'm the way to the Father, so come to me. And the invitation is extended, and the invitation is extended specifically to those who labor and are heavy laden. Come. Come. I'm the Word. I speak the Word of the Father. Come. I do the will of the Father. Come. I've come to accomplish the work of the Father. Come. I am the way to the Father. And you are those who are weary, burdened. You are those who labor. Now, labor is a good thing. It's good to work. But you're working, you're laboring under this heavy burden. You are heavy laden. You're bearing this weight that is greater than you can bear. Now, Jesus is not offering this invitation to a subset of humanity. For those of you who find yourselves to be laboring under a heavy burden, no, this all of us. This describes all of us. All of us who are apart from Christ are laboring under the weight of things that we can't carry. And Jesus says, come to me. Come, bring that burden. Come. We sang it. Come, just as you are. Now, we get used to our burdens. And we, after a while, we just think, well, our response is, I'm good, I'm okay. But we're not okay. We've gotten so used to living in a fallen world, we're so familiar with our burden that we don't realize it's there sometimes. But we bear the burdens of our own sinfulness. We bear burdens of guilt. Sometimes we bear burdens of bitterness. We bear burdens of addiction. We bear burdens of financial debt. There's just all kinds of burdens that we bear that are heavy. They're weighing us down. They're loading us down. Jesus says, come, bring that burden to me. Come, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, come. Remember what Jesus says as he stands there in the synagogue of Nazareth, his hometown. And on that occasion, he stands to speak. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach or proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So come, come to me. The second verb is take. Take my yoke. And probably we need to add the third verb as well immediately to that. Take my yoke and learn from me. I've been thinking about these verses for the last couple of weeks, and one of the reasons why this particularly impacted me when I read it is because I happened to be reading one of Wendell Berry's stories about the Port William community in Kentucky, his fictional little farming village. And the people who lived there over the course of many generations. The book I happened to be reading was called The Memory of Old Jack. Old Jack Beecham had been a tobacco farmer in rural Kentucky during the time before tractors were being used. And so farmers used draft animals. And like many of his fellow farmers in that community, he was struggling to get himself out of debt and get his farm free and clear. And he had some setbacks along the way. And he's, as an old man, he's looking back on this, and the story is his recollections. And one of the things that he discovered that he was good at is he was good at breaking and training draft animals. Sometimes they were mules, sometimes they were workhorses, even oxen. And they were yoked to one another, or sometimes harnessed to one another, in order to be able to do the work that needed to be done around the farm. You needed these animals to pull the hay rake, or to pull the farm wagon, or to pull the plow. There were all kinds of things you needed. It was beyond manpower. You needed horsepower. You needed some animals who could exert the power that was needed to do this. And so Jack became good at breaking and training these animals. He had his own mules who did the work on his farm, and sometimes other farmers would pay him. They'd bring to him a pair of young horses, workhorses, or a pair of young mules, or even oxen. And Jack would familiarize himself with the animals, get the animals accustomed to him, begin to win some of their trust. And then one day, the day would come when he would take one of his own well-trained mules, older, experienced, knowledgeable, and he would harness that mule, and then he'd bring the other young mule or young animal and put them in the harness next to them. Now, this young animal hadn't done anything so far in life but run around the pasture and eat and sleep. Didn't know the first thing about what it was like to be in a harness and to work. But that's what he was designed to do. That's what he's bred for. But he doesn't know how to do it. He needs to be yoked or harnessed to the older animal who can begin to teach him. And so now they start out, and the young one wants to take off running, but the older one knows that this is a long day of work ahead. Under the hot sun, you need to pace yourself. And so eventually, the young animal begins to adjust his gait or his walk to the older animal he's yoked to or harnessed to. And this young animal is used to paying no attention to anything except whatever happens to be within his eyesight at the moment, but he begins to learn that there is someone behind him, and the slap of the reins on his back means something, and the things that that person is saying mean something, and he begins to learn the meaning of them, and he begins to readjust his focus. And then at the end of the day, when he's taken back to the barn in the pasture, and the man takes the harness off and washes the animals and brushes them down and cleans their hooves and makes sure there's plenty of feed and bedding. And before long, a relationship of trust and even affection begins to grow between this animal and the other animal that he's in the harness with and the man who's behind them. And I was reading that. It's said very briefly. I made it longer than it needed to be. But Jesus is saying, come, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. There are things you don't know. You're only going to learn them when you are yoked to me, when you're next to me. And you'll begin to adjust your walk to my walk, your gait to my gait. You'll begin to pay attention to the things that you need to hear from me. You'll begin to listen for my voice. You'll begin to grow in your trust and affection for me. You'll learn those things from me. So come, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. But it's interesting that not all of the translations translated learn from me. Some of them translated learn of me. And both are equally valid translations. It's not just learn what I have to teach you, but learn of me, learn about me, learn who I am. Come to know me. And that's why Paul says, I want to know Christ. Jesus says, come get in the yoke with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And Paul says, that's just what I want to do. Lord, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ in all of his fullness. And in another place, Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now try to put anything else in that blank. For me to live is fill in the blank. For me to live is family. My kids and my grandchildren or my siblings and my parents, for me to live as family, if for me to live as family, to die is not gain, it's loss. Or for me to live is to have success in my career and to gain wealth and be able to look forward to a wonderful retirement. If that's what it is for me to live, then death is loss. For me to live is sports or great vacations and travel and all those wonderful things. If that's what it is for me to live, then death is loss. It only can you say death is gain when you can say for me to live is Christ. It's only when for me to live is Christ that death is gain. So Jesus says, come, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me until you can say for me to live is Christ. And therefore to die is only, it only gets better. It's gain. It's only more of Jesus than I've yet known. So come to me and take my yoke and learn of me. And then finally, find rest for your souls. That's the promised outcome. If we will come to him, take his yoke upon us, and learn from him and learn of him, we will find rest for our souls. Two simple stories from the Gospels come to mind. The first is there in Luke chapter 10, and Jesus is in the home of Mary and Martha. You remember that story. He's there, and Martha's a wonderful hostess and a wonderful cook, and they've invited Jesus to come, and he's there with them. But Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet out in the living room, and Martha is busy in the kitchen, and Martha's becoming more and more frustrated with the fact that nobody's helping her. And finally, she comes out and says to Jesus, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. I love that. Here's Martha saying to Jesus, Jesus, I want you to tell my sister that she's supposed to help me. She's kind of ordering Jesus around here. And Jesus replied, Martha, Martha. He could have said, you are laboring and heavy laden with so many things. You are bearing a burden that you don't need to bear. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken from her. I've heard worry described like this. Worry is assuming responsibility that God never intended for you to bear. It's assuming responsibility for God for things God never intended for you to bear. Well, we do that all the time, don't we? We take burdens on ourselves. We get burdened down by all kinds of weighty things. And Jesus is saying to Martha, and he's saying to you, and he's saying to me, come to me, you're under the weight of these burdens, take my yoke. It's easy and light. It'll fit you. And you'll learn the joy of walking with me and serving me. The second story is the story there in John chapter 4, where Jesus is at the well in Samaria, and there's a woman that he's been talking to about living water. You remember that story as well, I'm sure. And after a while, the woman rushes back to town to tell people about this man that she has just met. And while she is gone, the disciples come back. They've been out looking for food for lunch, and so they've found something to eat. They bring it back to Jesus because they know he's going to be hungry by now. And they offer it to him, urging him to eat. And he says, I have food to eat you don't know about. And the disciples say to each other, has somebody brought him something to eat? I mean, we went looking for lunch, we've got it with us, and now he's saying he has food that we don't know about. What's he talking about? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. What satisfies me, what fulfills me, is to be able to do the will of my Father, to see his work accomplished. Here is Jesus reminding us again, take my yoke upon you. It's made for you. It will fit you. This is what God had in mind when he created you. You'll discover that there's work for you, there's food for you that will satisfy you, that will complete you, that will you'll find fulfilling, that you knew nothing about. G. Campbell Morgan, a great preacher of another generation, pastored Westminster Chapel in London, one of the great preachers of his day, and I have his volume on Matthew, and I had taken it down and was reading what he had to say about this passage in Matthew, and he ends that chapter by saying this: Jesus said his burden was light. We hardly believe it. We say it's hard work to please God. In that view, we are wrong. It is fearfully hard work to please our neighbors. It is impossible work to please our friends. It is absurd to try to please ourselves. Then let the prayer of each one of us be, teach me to do your will, O God, because that is the easiest, the sublimest, the simplest law of life, and therein is rest. You will find rest for your soul. So come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me and learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul. We're going to come now to the table of the Lord, the time of communion. And we come with this invitation. It's not only come to the table, but it's hearing Jesus say, come to me. Some of you have come in this morning and you're bearing burdens that God doesn't intend for you to bear. They are weighing you down. And maybe you've just kind of accepted it. That's the way it's always going to be. You need to hear Jesus this morning saying, child of mine, come to me. Come to me. You are laboring and you are heavy laden. That burden is exhausting you. Bring that to me and take my yoke. It's easy, it's light, it fits you, it's made for you. Put that on and learn from me. Put that on and learn of me. I'll teach you. I'm humble of heart. And you're going to find rest for your soul. And so as we come to the table of the Lord this morning, we are reminded of this gracious gift of God. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He shed his blood. His body was nailed to that cross. He was there bearing the burdens for us. Why do we continue to bear them? He's there. Jesus paid it all. There's nothing left for us to do. Nothing left for us to pay. This is God's grace. This is his favor toward us that's so undeserved. And so as we come to the table, let's come in faith and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And lay those burdens down at his cross. And take his yoke and learn from him.